Okay, so you guys really threw us a curveball this time with all this material on Axe, specifically from Dr. Peterson and his take on Dennis Johnson's work.
Right, guidelines for reading X.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot to unpack. But you know what?
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
That's right. That's what the deep dive is all about.
Cutting through all that noise and getting down to like the core structure of this, you know, really important book.
It's a foundational book, really,
Yeah, for sure.
for Christianity, I mean.
Yeah, so our mission today is to like really get a handle on these structural signposts that Luke, the author of Acts, put in there to like guide us through the story of the early church. It's almost like he's giving us like a secret code or something.
A blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. And if we can crack that code, we can unlock a deeper understanding
I thought that was just
on, and more
yeah,
importantly,
that crack the code.
it's kind of like that though, right?
It is. It is. It's like
Yeah, it's like a puzzle.
he gives us these clues and
Yeah.
we've got to piece it together.
And the message, which is like the ultimate goal, right?
Sure.
Okay, so Johnson points out four main markers or signposts. We're going to focus on those.
Great.
And we'll start with how Acts 1.8 and 9.15 like kind of talk to each other.
Yeah, how they're in this dialogue, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not just random, like you said, they're not random things he threw in.
No.
These are like super important for the book.
Foundational.
If you understand
Yeah.
these, you can really see the intentionality,
Yes.
the way Luke is putting this story together.
Yes. It's like a framework, like you were saying.
It's the framework and it gives you the big picture, you
Yeah.
know,
Yes.
like how did the early church actually go about
Right.
doing what Jesus told them to do?
Yeah. So before we like dive deep into all that, we got to remember that Acts isn't just like a standalone book, right? It's like the sequel.
It picks up where Luke's gospel leaves off.
It's volume two.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Peterson, he reminds us that those opening verses of Acts,
Okay.
chapter one, verses one through three, they're like the bridge.
The connective tissue.
Exactly. It's like Luke is saying, hey, remember all that stuff I told you
Don't forget.
about what Jesus began to do and teach? This is like the continuation of that story.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what happened next.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is how it all played out. And he reminds us about, you know, Jesus appearing for 40 days after the resurrection, talking about the kingdom of God, giving his final instructions, all that good stuff.
Through the Holy Spirit. That's important.
Yes, definitely.
He's not just like disappearing.
No.
He's equipping them, you know, giving them the power they need
Yes.
to carry on his mission.
Okay, so flip back to the end of Luke,
Okay, got it.
chapter 24, verses 46 to 49. It's like we see Luke setting the stage, right?
Yeah, he's laying the groundwork.
Yeah,
He's
yeah.
giving us the preview.
Yeah. Jesus is talking about, you know, his suffering and resurrection.
Which is like the core message
Yes.
of the Christian faith.
Yes, absolutely. And then he talks about how, and this is really important, the proclamation of repentance and forgiveness has to go out to all nations,
To all nations, not just the Jews.
starting in Jerusalem.
It's a global mission.
Yes, huge.
Yeah.
And then he promises them power from on high.
Yes. And that directly connects to the
Yes.
coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts.
It was all connected.
It's all connected. So if the gospel is the what Acts is the how,
Oh, I like that.
it's the how-to manual for spreading the gospel
Yeah.
powered by the Spirit.
Okay, so with that connection, like firmly in place, let's dive into Acts 1.8, our first signpost.
Okay, let's go.
Jesus tells his followers, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
Okay, famous verse.
So famous, right? Now, Dennis Johnson, and Peterson explains this really well, he sees this not just as like a prediction, but as a geographical blueprint
A roadmap.
for the entire book of Acts. What do you think about that?
Well, it's amazing how Luke takes this one verse, right?
Yeah.
It seems simple on the surface. It's geography,
Yeah.
but he uses it to structure the whole narrative.
Yeah, it's pretty genius when you think about it.
Totally. So Johnson argues that the progression in this verse, it's like the chapters of Acts,
Okay.
chapters 1 through 7, were in Jerusalem.
Okay.
That's where the church is born.
Right.
It's growing there. It's facing persecution. It's figuring things out.
Right, it's all happening in Jerusalem.
Then 8 through 12, bam, Judea and Samaria.
Okay, the gospel is spreading.
It's expanding outward,
Yeah.
new challenges, new
New
people.
territory.
Exactly. And finally, 13 through 28, boom, to the ends of the earth.
Oh, wow. That's so cool how it.
It's like Luke is giving us the table of contents right up front.
Yeah, he's like, here's what's going to happen.
Buckle up.
Yeah, exactly. But it's more than just places on a map, right? Peterson points out this movement, this geographic movement, it means something bigger.
It's symbolic.
Yeah, like we start in Jerusalem, the center of Judaism.
The heart of it.
Right.
The temple, the religious leaders.
Yes. And by the end, Paul's in Rome.
The capital of the world.
The heart of the Roman Empire.
Yeah. Gentile power.
Yes. That's a huge shift.
It's massive. It shows us how the gospel breaks free from its Jewish context.
Yeah, like it's transcending boundaries.
It transcends boundaries.
Religious boundaries.
Religious, ethnic.
Cultural. Everything.
All kinds of boundaries. Think about who it reaches, right?
Okay.
First, it's the Jewish believers in Jerusalem.
Okay.
Their homeland.
Makes sense.
But then it goes out to the Jewish diaspora.
Oh, those scattered all over.
Yeah, those living all throughout the Roman Empire.
Okay, then who?
Then we get to the Samaritans.
Oh, the Samaritans, right?
And Peterson points out how...
They were kind of looked down upon by a lot of Jews.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Well, they had this mixed ancestry.
Oh, I see.
And they had their own distinct worship practices.
Oh, so they weren't considered, like, true Jews.
Right, not by everyone in Judea.
But the gospel doesn't stop there.
No.
It crosses that divide.
It embraces them, too.
Ah.
And then it goes even further.
Oh, wow. To who?
It reaches the Gentile proselytes.
Okay, and remind me, who are those again?
Those are Gentiles who fully converted to Judaism.
Oh, okay, so they were like all in?
Yeah, they followed all the laws and customs.
Okay, got it.
Then there were the God-fearers.
Okay, God-fearers.
These were Gentiles.
Okay.
Who were drawn to, like, the Jewish God, the one God.
Okay.
And the ethical teachings.
Okay, so they were like... interested, but not fully converted.
Right, not fully committed.
Okay, I see.
And finally, it reaches the Gentiles who had no connection to Judaism at all.
Oh, wow. So like pagans and stuff?
Pagans, yeah. Immersed in totally different beliefs and practices. Wow. That's incredible. It's like the scope of
it's amazing. And that journey.
Yeah.
That geographical journey in Acts 1.8.
Yeah.
It's like this powerful symbol.
Of God's salvation reaching everyone.
Everyone. Exactly.
Wow. That's a great point. Okay. So Acts 1.8 gives us that geographical and thematic like overview.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's look at the second part of this first signpost.
Yeah, okay.
Acts 9.15.
Got it.
This is after Saul, you know, has his crazy encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus.
Right.
And he's told he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
Another key verse.
So key. How does Johnson see this fitting in with Acts 1.8?
Well, Johnson says Acts 9.15. It's like a more specific outline for the second half of the book.
Oh, okay.
Starting around chapter 13 with Paul's missionary journeys.
Okay.
Those three groups mentioned, Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.
Right.
Those become like the focus of Paul's ministry.
Okay, so it's like a zoomed in roadmap.
That's like a zooming in. So chapters 13 through 20.
Yeah.
That's mostly Paul with the Gentiles.
Right. All those different regions he traveled to.
Exactly. Then you got chapters 24 through 26.
Okay.
That's Paul before kings and rulers.
Like defending his faith and stuff.
Defending himself. Yeah. Explaining the gospel.
Right. Right.
And then chapters 22 and 28.
Yeah.
It's Paul specifically talking to his fellow Jews.
Okay. So it's like those three groups become the three main threads.
Exactly. It's like weaving those threads together.
Yeah.
To create this tapestry of Paul's mission.
Wow. I love that analogy.
Yeah.
It's so cool how Luke uses those two verses, you know, placed so strategically.
Yeah, yeah.
To give us, like, the whole structure of the book.
The brilliant.
In a nutshell. And Peterson points out that it's significant that Acts ends with Paul's ministry.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just random. It's intentional.
Yeah.
Luke is making a point.
Right.
Even in the last chapter, Acts 28, Paul's in Rome.
Yeah, under house arrest, right?
Yeah, he's facing opposition from some of the Jewish leaders there.
Right.
But he doesn't give up.
No, he keeps preaching.
He keeps preaching and teaching.
And he quotes Isaiah, right?
Yes. About the unresponsive hearts.
Oh, right.
And then he declares, like, so powerfully.
What does he say?
Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen.
Wow, that's powerful stuff.
It's a powerful statement.
So it's connecting back to that outward movement.
To the Gentiles.
Yeah, that we saw in Acts 1.8.
Exactly. And the focus on them in 9.15.
So it's like the book ends where it began, in a way.
In a way, yeah. It's all connected.
And Peterson also points out it kind of echoes what Stephen said way back in chapter 7.
Oh, yeah. His message that was ultimately rejected.
Right. By some of the Jewish leaders.
Yeah. It's like a parallel.
So there's like this theme of rejection and acceptance.
Yeah. Of the gospel going out.
And finding new ground.
New ground, new people.
Wow. Okay. So that's a really clear picture of how those two verses work together.
Mm-hmm.
To give us that initial structure.
The foundation.
Yeah, the foundation.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to our second signpost.
Okay, I'm ready.
The summary statements that Luke uses.
Right, right.
What do you think those are doing for us as readers?
Why, as Peterson describes them, I see them as these little snapshots.
Oh, okay, like checkpoints.
Checkpoints, progress reports, yeah.
Okay.
It's like Luke is pausing the action to give us a sense of, like, the bigger picture.
Okay, the overall health of the early church.
Exactly. How is it doing? Is it growing? What's happening?
And it also kind of highlights the impact, right?
Yes, yes, of the events that he's been describing.
Yeah, like, what's the result of all this activity?
And sometimes they even foreshadow what's to come.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, little hints.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they might not be, like, super dramatic.
Right. Not, like, miracles or confrontations.
Yeah, but they're super important.
For understanding the bigger picture.
The overall flow.
Of the gospel's advance.
Exactly.
And what kind of themes do you see popping up in these summaries?
Well, a few things stand out to me.
Okay.
You see this bold evangelism.
Okay, people going out and spreading the message.
Yeah, and it's effective. People are responding.
People are coming to faith.
Yeah. And you see this real sense of community.
Oh, that's nice.
Among the believers, this mutual care.
Okay, so like they're taking care of each other.
Yeah, they're supporting each other.
Okay, that's cool.
And there's also a sense of joy and a reverence.
Okay, so like a sense of awe.
Yeah, a recognition of God's presence and power.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then probably most importantly, you see this constant theme of the word of God spreading.
Oh, that's interesting.
And multiplying.
So it's not just staying in one place.
No, it's going out. It's reaching more and more people.
Do you have any specific examples?
Oh, yeah. There are tons.
Okay.
So like in Acts 6.7, right after they choose the seven deacons.
Okay.
And before Stephen gives his big speech, it says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great number of the priests became obedient to the faith."
Okay, so it's highlighting both the message and the growth of the church.
Exactly. And notice it even mentions the priests.
Oh, so even the religious establishment is being impacted.
Yeah, it's reaching all levels of society.
That's amazing.
Then later in Acts 12.24,
okay,
after that initial wave of persecution.
Right, when the believers got scattered.
Yeah, Luke says.
Yeah.
But the word of God increased and multiplied.
So even persecution couldn't stop.
Well, it just spread the word further.
Wow, that's incredible.
And then in Acts 13.49,
okay,
this is when Paul's preaching in Pisidian Antioch,
okay,
Luke tells us.
Yeah.
And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region.
Okay, so it's like wildfire.
Yeah, spreading.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable. And then there's this really cool one in Acts 19.20.
Okay.
After Paul's been in Ephesus for a while.
Okay, what does it say?
Luke says.
Yeah. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily.
I love that word prevail. It just sounds so powerful.
Yeah, it's like this unstoppable force.
Like nothing can stand in its way.
It's overcoming all obstacles.
And it's all connected to the word.
The word, it's central.
It's like Peterson says, these summaries really show us how the Holy Spirit's work is tied to this proclamation of the message about Jesus.
Absolutely. It's not just about the Spirit doing miraculous things.
Right.
So the Spirit empowering people to speak the word.
And that word is having an impact.
Yes. It's changing lives. It's building the church.
So they're not just like passive reports.
No, they're active.
They're reinforcing that central idea of Acts.
That the gospel is spreading through preaching.
Powered by the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move on to the third structural signpost, the repeated accounts.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, Peterson highlights three specific events that Luke talks about more than once.
He doesn't just tell us once. He's like, hey, remember this. It's important.
Exactly. And it's fascinating because Luke's doing something
that
authors in the Old Testament did.
Oh, really? How so?
He's using repetition.
Okay.
Not because he forgot what he wrote.
Right, right.
But to show us how crucial these events are.
Okay, so it's like a literary technique.
Yeah, a way of emphasizing.
Like highlighting in bold.
Exactly. And back then, you know, most people couldn't read.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So repetition was super important.
For remembering the key points.
For making sure the message stuck with you.
Okay, so which events does he repeat?
Okay, so the first one is Pentecost.
Okay, the big one.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Right, the sound like a rushing wind, the tongues of fire.
Yeah, all that. We get the full story in Acts chapter 2
okay.
with Peter's sermon.
Right, connecting it all to Jesus.
But then later,
yeah,
in Acts 11:16, when Peter's explaining things to the Jerusalem church,
okay,
he brings up Pentecost again. And he connects it back to Jesus' promise in Acts 1:5.
Oh, right, right.
And then he mentions it again.
Where?
At the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15:8.
Oh, wow. So three times.
Three times. It's like Luke is saying, don't miss this.
This is super important.
The Holy Spirit. That's the defining characteristic of the new covenant community.
Okay. So what's the second event?
The second one is the conversion of Cornelius.
Oh, the Roman centurion.
Yeah, and the inclusion of the Gentiles.
Right, a major turning point.
Huge. And Luke dedicates the whole chapter, Acts 10,
wow,
to describing this event.
Okay, so we get all the details.
All the details. Peter's vision, the meeting with Cornelius.
And the Holy Spirit falling on the Gentiles.
Exactly. But then later,
yeah,
Peter recounts the whole thing to the church in Jerusalem in Acts 11.
Okay.
Because they were kind of skeptical at first.
Yeah, it was a big change.
A huge change. And then Peter brings it up again.
At the Jerusalem Council.
Yeah. In Acts 15:7.
As proof.
As evidence.
That God wants to save the Gentiles too.
Exactly. And this repetition.
Yeah.
It underscores how radical this shift was.
Right. Like questioning circumcision and dietary laws.
Yeah. These deeply ingrained traditions.
So it was a big deal.
It was a huge deal.
Okay. So what's the third repeated account?
The third one is the conversion of Saul of Tarsus.
Okay. Who becomes Paul?
The Apostle Paul. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So Luke tells us about his dramatic encounter on the road to Damascus.
Oh, in Acts 9?
Yeah, verses 130. But then Paul himself tells the story.
Oh, wow.
Not once, but twice.
Really? Where?
In his defense speeches.
Oh, okay.
In Acts 22 and 26.
Okay, so he's telling his own story.
Yeah, from his own perspective.
Interesting.
And there are some variations, you know.
Oh, like different details emphasized.
Yeah, depending on who he's talking to.
But the main point is the same.
Yeah, the encounter with Jesus.
And his life being completely changed.
Transformed.
And Peterson says that Luke could have just, like, mentioned Paul's conversion in passing. But he chose to repeat it.
Yeah.
In detail.
Yeah, it's intentional.
Why do you think he did that?
I think Luke wanted to make sure
yeah.
that we understood the impact of God's grace.
Oh, right. Like how powerful it is.
Yeah. To transform a persecutor of the church
yeah.
into the apostle to the Gentiles.
It's amazing when you think about it.
It is. It's a testament to the redemptive power of the gospel.
Yeah. Like anyone can be reached.
Anyone.
Okay. So repetition as a way to highlight
yeah.
pivotal moments.
And their ongoing significance.
Yeah. It's like a literary spotlight.
It's a spotlight.
Okay. Let's move on to our fourth and final signpost.
Okay.
The prominence of preaching in Acts.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big one, right?
It's huge. Peterson points out
yeah.
that a big chunk of Acts,
yeah.
like 30% of the whole book,
wow, that's a lot.
Is dedicated to sermons and teachings.
So it's not just about the action.
No, it's about the message.
The words.
The words.
Okay, and it's interesting that even when there are miracles, they're often like the backdrop for a sermon.
Right. It's like the miracle sets the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
For the explanation.
So it's not just about the spectacle.
No, it's about the meaning behind it.
Right. And Peterson even notes
yeah.
that Luke often gives more space
yeah.
to the sermons.
Than to the miracles themselves.
Wow, that's interesting.
Like, think about Pentecost.
Okay.
You have the speaking in tongues.
Right.
But then Peter's sermon is way longer.
Oh, that's true.
It's like Luke wants us to focus on the interpretation.
Right, not just the event itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the healing of the lame man.
Oh, yeah, in Acts 3.
Yeah, the miracle happens and yeah. then boom, Peter's speech.
So it's like the miracles are pointing to something bigger.
To the truth.
Right, they're signs.
Signs pointing to Jesus.
Okay, and Luke includes all kinds of sermons.
Oh, yeah, it's like a collection.
Delivered to different audiences.
As the gospel spreads.
Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, for sure. So we have Peter's sermon at Pentecost to a Jewish audience.
Right.
Connecting the Spirit to Jesus' exaltation.
Okay.
Then his speeches in Solomon's colonnade and before the Sanhedrin.
Okay. Still in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Emphasizing the power of Jesus' name.
Okay.
Then you have Stephen's speech.
Oh, yeah. That was a long one.
Yeah. It's like a prophetic indictment
okay.
against Israel.
And that leads to the scattering.
Yeah. Which spreads the gospel further.
Wow. That's ironic.
It is. And then we get summaries of Philip's preaching to the Samaritans and the Ethiopian eunuch.
Showing how the gospel is reaching different groups.
Favorite people.
Yeah.
Then Peter's proclamation at Cornelius's house.
Oh, yeah, that was huge.
The Gentile inclusion.
Yes. And then Paul's preaching in the synagogues.
Oh, okay. In the Jewish diaspora.
Okay.
And then his speech to the philosophers in Athens.
Oh, right. The Areopagus.
Yeah. A completely different context.
Yeah, like adapting his message.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then James's speech at the Jerusalem Council.
Okay.
Providing clarity about the Gentiles.
Right. Like settling that debate.
Yeah. And then Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesian elders.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a beautiful speech.
About leadership.
Yeah. And faithfulness.
And then Paul's defense speeches.
Yeah, in those legal settings.
Okay, so lots of writing.
It's like a masterclass.
In preaching.
In communicating the gospel.
In different contexts.
Exactly.
And the book ends with Paul preaching, right?
It does. Acts 28,
yeah.
It culminates with Paul in Rome.
Even under house arrest.
Yeah, but he's still preaching.
What does it say?
It says he's solemnly testifying concerning the kingdom of God and persuading them about Jesus from the law of Moses and the prophets.
Wow.
And then it says he's preaching the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
So powerful.
It's a beautiful ending.
It really shows how the preached word
is
central to the gospel's advance.
It's like the engine driving it forward.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. We've taken a deep dive into these four structural signposts, highlighted by Dennis Johnson, and explained so well by Dr. Peterson.
He's a great scholar.
So first, we have Acts 1.8 and 9.15, that complementary pairing.
Yeah.
That gives us both a geographical and thematic outline.
The roadmap.
Yeah, the roadmap. Then we have those summary statements.
Those little snapshots.
Yeah, giving us glimpses into the growth of the early church.
And the impact of the gospel.
Then the repetition of those key events.
Pentecost, Cornelius, Paul.
Emphasizing their significance.
Yeah, those turning points.
And finally, the prominence of preaching.
The word going out.
Showing how central it is.
To spreading the gospel.
Yeah, it's all connected.
It's all part of Luke's grand design.
And by understanding these structures, you know, these signposts,
we
can read Acts with a deeper understanding.
Absolutely. It's not just a random collection of stories.
No, it's carefully crafted.
Luke is a masterful storyteller.
And he's got a message he wants to communicate.
A message that's still relevant today.
So it's not just history.
No, it's alive.
It's a living.